Turning this evening to the book of Proverbs and chapter 15. Proverbs and chapter 15. If you have your bookmark in where we read our scripture reading from, then please keep it there, because we'll be looking at some of 2 Corinthians 2 as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as well. But Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. At first reading, we think this verse will contrast those who are afflicted with those who are not. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but those who are not will have a continual feast. So we think the verse might read. But actually, it's not contrasting that at all. It says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. So the afflicted, troubled in mind perhaps, or in heart, all the days of the afflicted are evil, tedious, uncomfortable. He takes no content in any time or anything. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. He who has a merry heart, regardless of circumstances, we might say, has a continual feast. So this verse isn't really about your circumstances. It's not about whether you have affliction or not. It's about your attitude to your circumstances. Not whether you have afflictions, but your attitude to your afflictions. And so we have the wisdom of Solomon in this book of Proverbs. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. And if we would have a continual feast in life, if we would want to have a continual feast spiritually, not materially, then this verse is for us. And we have a lot to learn from Solomon. So many proverbs that he wrote in this wonderful book. This is just one. And he talks here about our attitude. How will we face the attitude? How will we face the trials of life? What will our attitude be towards them? Well, notice there, all the days of the afflicted are evil. Now, we may think that's one type of person, one particular person. The people in this part of the world over here, all those are afflicted. You may think it refers to just somebody else, but of course it doesn't, because it reflects all of us. All of us. We all have afflictions. Of course we do. We have many different types of affliction. Material afflictions. We all know what they are. Maybe many difficulties that we have in life. You know what they are for you. I know what they are for me. Of course, some of them are very common. We have difficulties with paying the bills, perhaps. We have financial difficulty. We have health difficulties. We have difficulties perhaps with our job, difficult colleagues, fits of redundancy. Maybe you've been made redundant recently. Difficulties in our relationships. So many different parts of life in which we can have afflictions. There's no doubt about that. Not just material though, but spiritual. Afflictions in our soul. Persecution. Just think of all the people in the world who are persecuted. Are you persecuted for your faith? It's possible. People go into offices and they get laughed at because they're a Christian, because they go to church. The bolder you are, I'm sure the more you get. The bolder you are in your proclamation, as it were. We don't go into work to proclaim the gospel necessarily, but the more you speak for the Lord Jesus Christ with the opportunities you get, perhaps the more persecuted you'll be. Some people are very blessed. They can go into an office and they can talk at length to people and they're not particularly persecuted for it. But think about other people in other parts of the world. Think about those who have just been uprooted in Syria and in Iraq, those who are killed for the sake of the gospel. Think of the prophets the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees, "You've killed every single one of the prophets from Abel through to Zechariah. You've killed them all." So the prophets were persecuted. We have lots of persecution in this land. And even in this land, we're not physically persecuted, but we are intellectually, aren't we? You raise your head above the parapet and say, "We think this earth was created." Well, that doesn't meet with favour on an internet forum. That just meets with abuse. I probably said that before here. All sorts of things you can talk about. Moral issues. You will have persecution. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Marvel not if you are persecuted." We can have feelings of helplessness in our spiritual walk. Feelings of desertedness. Struggle with sins. Satan tempting us to this and Satan tempting us to that. And he's perhaps not the biggest culprit. In the book of James it says, "We are all tempted when we are drawn away of our own lusts and enticed." We are our own worst enemy. Yes, the devil tempts us to despair, he tempts us to sin. But we have our own sin as well, our indwelling sin. And all of these things are afflictions. We are those who have afflictions and troubles. Of course we do. I was reading a book recently about a man called Adoniram Judson. You may have heard of him, you may not. He was an American man. He was the first foreign missionary that was sent out of the US. And he was desperate to be a missionary. That's all he wanted to be. And he really wanted to go to Burma. And so many things tried to put him off going to Burma. But in the end he got there. And it's incredible to me, reading his life story, how many afflictions he suffered, how many things that he had to deal with and cope with in his life. And he was certainly somebody who was afflicted. He had three wives, two wives who died in Burma. He had the deaths of numerous children to deal with. One of his children died and he said, "That was all we had. That was the only earthly pleasure we had. In this place it's full of unbelief. There's no comforts of anything. The only real comfort we had was that one child. And it was taken away. The Lord took him." And he was often walking long distances, dangerous journeys to go and see the emperor so that he could get cause for the gospel in that place. And he would be persecuted. He would be shut up in a barn and left there for months on end, nearing death. So many afflictions, and you think, what wonderful faith. William Carey, the same. John Patton, the same. All people, loads of people, numerous examples of missionaries who go out and they suffer persecution for the sake of Christ. So everybody, in some way or other, suffers afflictions. So when it says all the days of the afflicted here are evil, well, we all have afflictions. But how do we deal with those afflictions? How do we cope with them? How do we process them? That's the real question. Because it's he who is of a merry heart who has a continual feast. Now that doesn't mean that all our afflictions we need to make us happy. Our afflictions don't make us happy. The Bible isn't saying that we should always be happy. Have you heard of Christians who say that you should always be happy? Called the prosperity gospel. Christians are always to be happy. No sadness, no difficulties at all. You'll hear people preach and they'll say, "You give me all your money and I'll say a prayer for you and that'll be it. You'll be released from that illness and you'll be released from that. You'll be released from this. You'll have no money worries again in your life. Everything will be perfect for you." That's prosperity gospel. That's rubbish. All the days of the afflicted are evil. There are afflictions. People promising you happiness, you know, happiness now on this earth. "Give me your money. I'll do it for you." Well, that's no religion at all. So it's normal for our afflictions to leave us feeling down, to leave us feeling depressed even. They're sent because they do that very thing. Afflictions are sent to us because they lead us. They leave us feeling that kind of pain. They wouldn't be really afflictions. There wouldn't be any purpose to them if they didn't have that effect upon us, because there's going to be some purpose to them. It was Jacob, wasn't it, who said, "Few and evil have been the years of my life. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." That's what he could say. All trouble. There was trouble on some part or other in his life, and that was his assessment of his life. What about other examples in the Bible? What about King David? Was he always happy? Well, you don't have to read the Psalms to know that King David wasn't very happy, always very happy. Of course, there were times when he was happy, but there was Psalms, read Psalm 42. He thirsts for God, my soul, you know Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the streams, the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. But he's persecuted. He says, my tears have been my food, day and night. He hasn't eaten, and he cries on his bed, day and night. Why? Well, because his persecutors say, where is your God? That's what they're saying to him. He's in, King David in that psalm was in the mountains. He was running away from persecution. And he hasn't been to the house of God. And he asks the question, when will I go back to be at the house of God? He's missing being in a place of worship. And his enemies say, where is your God? And he said, his tears have been his food day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God? And in that psalm he's unhappy. Numerous examples of saints that have gone before us who have afflictions and they've been unhappy in their affliction. Nothing wrong with that. Christians are unhappy sometimes. King David. What about the Apostle Paul? He had an illness. We know not what. His thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times. We learn in Scripture that would be taken from him. And yet it wasn't. But it must have been grievous enough to him for him to have prayed that prayer, for it to be taken away. And I could go on and on, but the Scriptures are full of saints who are unhappy with their affliction. And if somebody comes to you and says, well, you should always be happy, a Christian ought always to be happy, well, that's not the normal case, is it? We do have afflictions, we do have difficulties that make life difficult and they get us down. That's completely to be expected. But here the verse says, you will have afflictions, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. And that's the point. It's how you deal with your afflictions. What's your attitude to your afflictions? How do we have a continual feast? Well, partly it's this. The first point is that even in our worst afflictions, even in our worst afflictions, we always have some happiness. We always have something to draw on. We always have something to think about, to meditate upon as Christians. There's always something, because if nothing else, we have salvation, we have eternal life, and that's kind of the bass notes of our life. And the tune on the top may be a difficult one, the tune may be in a minor key, and yet the bass notes of salvation through faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, the never failing love of God, that beats all the way through our lives, like a heartbeat continually beats. So we have the heartbeat of faith, and that cheers us on our way. And although the clouds are looming, the clouds are dark, the weather isn't good, as it were, in our life, yet we have the Lord Jesus Christ always there, always to be at our side, always available in prayer. And we have his word, which gives us so many promises, so many things to meditate upon, to wonder at. So yes, all the days of the afflicted are evil, if you let them be evil. All the days of the afflicted will be evil, if we're determined that they will be evil. The verse is basically saying, are we people who find something negative in everything and never find anything positive in anything? Are we that kind of person? So a problem comes along and all we can do is think about the negative aspects of it. And we'll communicate those negative aspects of it to anyone that will listen. And we won't think about the positive aspects, we won't put a positive spin on it and think about the many blessings that we have in that situation. Because if we do, if you are of a merry heart in whatever circumstances you have, as far as is possible, you are the one who will have a continual feast. Well, how do we have, what can we do to ensure that we have a continual feast? Or what can we do to give ourselves the best chance of having a continual feast? Well, if you have your Bibles open, maybe we could turn to the scripture that we read together in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because here we have the Apostle Paul who were certainly afflicted. Certainly afflicted. Just look at verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Well, the Apostle Paul, he has afflictions, no doubt. Terrible afflictions. Afflicted more than anybody, perhaps, any other Christian, perhaps, that's ever lived. But we want to come down to his advice. How do we have a continual feast? How was he able to be joyful? Because Paul in other places will say, rejoice in the Lord always. How was it possible to rejoice in that situation? Well, look at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So he says, therefore, even though we're suffering these afflictions, even though our outward man is perishing, the body is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And it must be. It must be. Is your inward man being renewed day by day? Ask yourself that question. Could you honestly say that it was? Or do you wander along in life, hoping for the best? Do you wander along in life in your circumstances, hoping that all things will work out for good in the end? Or do you, are you somebody like this, who can renew? You can honestly say that you renew your mind day by day, because your outward man is perishing. From the day we're born, our outward man is perishing. Our bodies are dying, as it were. And one day, they will finally go to the grave. And yet, our inner man can be renewed day by day. How do we renew our minds day by day? How do we renew ourselves day by day? Well, through prayer. That's an obvious one, isn't it? But prayer renews our spirits day by day. If you are somebody who doesn't pray very much, if you're somebody that used to pray a lot but now doesn't hardly pray at all, well, we can't really be surprised, can we, if we have afflictions that come upon us and we don't really feel like we're dealing with them very well. We don't take them to the Lord. We have never prayed about them. Maybe there's an affliction in your life which gets you down and makes you upset, but you've never really prayed about it. You've never taken that to the Lord in prayer. And not only that, but if you're not really praying well enough, not really praying at all, then you're not giving the Lord worship. You're not giving him praise. You're not giving him thanks for all the blessings that you do have. We're not really praying to him at all. And so if we're renewing our mind day by day, we have to be in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the God our Father. So we must pray. We must pray, because that's when we have wisdom. That's when we gain wisdom about our situation. Things will occur to us. The purpose is for them. What can I learn from this affliction? So we must pray. It expands our mind. What do we do else? Well, we read the Word. These are very obvious, aren't they? I hope they're not boring you, but we read the Word. That's fundamental. If we're a Christian and we're just kind of gliding through life, we're not praying, we're not really reading the Bible very much. In this week, between now and next Sunday, will you pick up your Bible at home at all? Will you read it? How long will you read it for? Will you try and really understand it? Will you just gloss over the words and think, well, I've done my Bible reading, that's enough, don't need to do any more? But will you really try and get to grips with it? Really try and understand it? Really try and get some benefit from it? Would you be like Jacob, who says, I won't let you go until you bless me? Well, I speak to myself more than you. These are fundamental things. But we need to pray. We need to read the Word. We get more courage, don't we? We get bolder in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a clearer view of him, his ways, his purposes, things that you didn't know about the Bible. Things will occur to you, different people in situations that you didn't know existed, because we haven't come across them before. The Word is new every morning, isn't it? So many things to learn from the Word of God. Well, that's the first thing. We renew our minds day by day. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction. Our light affliction. Let's just stop there. Paul says the afflictions are light. You may say, who am I? Who am I to stand here? Who is he to stand here? Who is he to come into this place and say, my afflictions are light? I have terrible afflictions. He knows nothing about my afflictions. Well, it's not me saying anything. It's the Apostle Paul. He's saying that they're light afflictions. And he is the one who had much persecution, not me. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more. In labour, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Well, that's the Apostle Paul's testimony. And in this same book, he calls them light afflictions. Light afflictions. How are they light? How can these things that he's just talked about possibly be light afflictions? They would crush me and you, I'm sure. Well, they were light in the face of his objectives. His great objective in life was to bring others to the faith. That was his great objective in life, to communicate the gospel to everybody else, that they might know the blessing of God, that they might be saved from hell. That was his point. That was the whole reason he lived. And he says, in light of that, even if just one person was saved, if one person was rescued from hell to spend eternity in heaven, that would be worth it. All these things would be worth it. They would be nothing compared to that. Because the punishment of God on somebody who isn't repentant is far worse than anything I could suffer in this life. So when he thinks about his objectives, it's nothing. It's like a mother. Spurgeon says it's like a mother with a child, a sick child, and she waits up all night. She doesn't sleep herself, but she sits and she watches that child. And with her care and with her help, that child gets better. And you say, oh, you must be really tired. And she says, it's nothing. I would do it again. Anything for that child to live. And so it's a light affliction for her. As long as the child lives, I don't mind what happens to me. And so it is with Paul. He says, I don't mind what happens to me. It's a light affliction. I think nothing of it for the sake of my brethren. And he even says in the book of Romans, I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. If it were possible, he says, I'd almost wish myself to be in hell forever if all of those people could go to heaven. So he thinks in the light of his objectives, he's perfectly happy to suffer these things. How else is it light? Well, they're light compared to the blessings we enjoy. Think about all the things we have from the Lord. It's amazing, isn't it? We so often don't think about them. But we have eternity, if nothing else. If nothing else in this life, we have the hope of bliss, eternal bliss with the Lord Jesus Christ. But even in this life, as a Christian, what blessings do we have? Access to God. Access to Him through prayer. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody said, you've got the ear of the Prime Minister between now and when you die. You can phone him whenever you like, ask him whatever you like. You have something far better than that. Access to God. Access through prayer to Him, because He can change situations, He can change things, He can change whatever He wants to change, all in His will and all in His purposes. But so it is. The afflictions to Paul are light in the context of the blessings that he has received. Well, we must move on. Why else? They're temporary. All these light afflictions. Look at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is but for a moment. All the days of the afflicted are evil. Oh, this trial will last forever. This trial will last forever and it will never stop. I will never be free from this thing. And we can get ourselves into a hole, a complaining spirit perhaps. And the apostle says here, even though our outward man is perishing, yet we are renewed day by day, For all our light affliction, which is but for a moment, he sees it as a temporary thing. And as we were thinking this morning, it is a temporary thing. Even if it was to last our whole lives, it would be a temporary thing compared to eternity. It would be the drop in a bucket compared to the bottomless bucket of eternity. It would just be a short time. And some of the prophets, they didn't last very long, did they? They would die at very young ages. And you think, well, their life was short, and even their short life was very short. And these light afflictions are only for a time. They won't last forever. Our life is like a vapor, the Bible says. It's gone. It's there and it's gone, like steam from a kettle. And your trial within that vapor is just a part of that small time that we're alive. So our afflictions are light, according to Paul, and they're temporary. All these light afflictions are only for a time, only for a moment. What else can we say about this? They have an earthly purpose. These afflictions aren't just random. In the book of Romans, we read that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But all the afflictions of God that we suffer have a purpose. They have a point to them. There's no randomness. Everything is designed by the Lord. Everything is designed by him and sent to us, especially for us, because it has a purpose. Maybe an illness that we can't shake off keeps us humble. Who knows? If we were in perfect health, who knows what we might do? We might be too confident in ourselves. Everything has a purpose, and we won't know what that is. A bit like, have you ever done a cross stitch? Ever seen a cross stitch? And you look at it from the back and you wonder how that could be anything. And you turn it over and it's a finished cross stitch and it looks very nice. And you look at the back and you think, well, you know, we look at our lives from the back and we say, well, that's just doesn't make any sense. It's just a mess. And when God sees it from the front, he knows what he's doing. He knows he orders things in our lives to bring about the things that he wants to bring about. And although we won't understand it, we know that we must trust him. And we were just thinking about that in the room before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So our afflictions, what else do they do? Well, they wean us from the world. They take our eyes off the world. If we didn't have any afflictions ever, I think we'd get very comfortable here. We'd be very happy in life. We'd be very happy in the world. Would that be true? I'm sure it would. We get too comfortable, too happy. No afflictions at all. Every time, every day we get up, we just have happiness. Well, we get comfortable here. And we wouldn't look to that city which hands have not built. We wouldn't look forward to heaven. If this life was bliss, we wouldn't look forward to the eternal bliss. And so we have afflictions in this life to wean us from the world. And we also have them to increase our trust in the Lord. Because if we never had any afflictions, well, we'd never have anything to go to him with, no problems to present to him, no answers to prayer. If we go to the Lord and we pray to him, it increases our faith. We say, Lord, we've had this problem, I've got this problem, please help. And we have an answer to prayer. And it builds up our faith, it builds up our trust. And that's why we have afflictions. They're light afflictions, because actually they're working for your good. They're working for your eternal good, and they purify our hearts. Have we ever, you may say, well, what's the difference? But you can have an affliction that's actually a chastisement, can't we? An affliction could be a chastisement. The Lord says in Hebrews, it says that whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And so if we're backslidden, the Lord may send a chastening hand. He may send an affliction in order to bring us back to him, to help us to seek him again. And so he purifies our hearts. We are more able to break free from the sins that so easily beset us. Well, they have a temporary purpose to make us more holy now on this earth, but also an eternal purpose. We know that one day we will go to heaven. We know that one day we'll see the point of all these things that come upon us. But we really do look forward to heaven even more when we have these afflictions, because we know that heaven is our home. and we feel it even more when we are in trouble. And God has graciously promised to reward his people in heaven. Who deserves a reward? Well, we don't deserve any reward, but only in the merits and in the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, coming to conclusion, what else can we say? Just one more thing perhaps. All our trials are relative. Are relative. We often think about that. Have you ever heard the word, ever heard the phrase first world problems? Have you ever heard that before? I hear it in the office a lot. Somebody will say, oh, I've got a problem that I've not got any milk today. None of my special milk which I have in my tea. And then they'll say, first world problem. By which they mean, let's think about this in context. It's not really that big a deal, is it? If we're honest about it, it's just a problem for me. It doesn't really matter. Let's think about those who don't have anything. When children are being fussy, we say, boys, be grateful. You don't know. You know, there'll be people in this world who don't have anything. There'll be boys and girls who starve to death today. Be grateful for what you've got. First world problems. And so all our problems are relative. So when we're in a trouble, when we're in affliction, well, it may be painful for us. It may well be painful for us. But one thing we can do is to try and put that into context. What if I was living in another country where there was persecution? What if I was a parent of one of those children who has been brutally murdered in Iraq just because IS didn't want them to be there? What if I was one of these parents who has a sick child all the way through their lives? What if I was one of these parents who had this? Or just think about our context. Think about our affliction in the context of other people and of other situations, because that will truly help us to put things into context. Truly help us to wean ourselves from self-pity if we're outward looking rather than inward looking. And we always have to remind ourselves of that. Keep looking at other people. Keep your focus off yourself and thinking about how much more difficult our lives could even be if it were possible. Well, verse 17, for all our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. An eternal weight of glory. That's the purpose. All these things have a purpose for eternity. An eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. If you just have your eyes on your affliction, if you just have your eyes constantly on your problem, well, your problem will grind you down, and you'll be those who have affliction, and all your days will be evil. You're not really thinking. You're just looking at your problem, and you're not keeping your eyes above. Because Paul here says, we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not seen to us in the flesh, but we see him in the Word. And we don't look at our trials and think, and our afflictions, and we think, well, I feel very sorry for myself. There's so much wrong, and we don't see any good in anything. We just see the bad. Well, that's just looking at the things which are seen. But we look at the things which are not seen. The eternal hope of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ working in our circumstances for our good. We think about the times when he's worked in the past. So important, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ says, all things work together for good to them that love him. And you'll look back at the past and you'll say, there was one time when I was completely afflicted with something, and now I can see the purpose. Now I can see the point. I'm sure you've all had an experience like that. I would have had it one way, but the Lord had it another. And now I see why. Now I see the point. So we keep our eyes on things which are not seen. The hope of heaven. The mansions that the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for them who love him. What about Moses? What was his testimony? Moses, the eyeing of him who is invisible, supported Moses. Moses went through so much. You know the history. I won't go through it now. But Moses looked at the invisible, it says. He kept his eyes on the things unseen in Hebrews 11. He kept his eyes on what nobody else could see, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal workings of the Lord. Heaven and that place where there is no sin, where there is no more evil, and where the Lord Jesus Christ reigns, where his enemies are his footstool. So the proverb says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who has a merry heart, he who has a merry heart has a continual feast. And if you would have a continual feast in your Christian life, well, we need to look beyond our affliction. We need to consider them light afflictions as much as we can. And if we do that, if we keep our eyes on the things which are not seen, keep our eyes off the things which are seen, onto the things which are unseen, if we do that, if we renew our minds day by day, then we will be those who have a continual feast. And that's the promise of the Lord. And we have that in his word. We have that in prayer. Our lives will be a continual feast. Not that we'll always be happy, we won't. But we try as much as we can to see our afflictions in the relative context of other people's afflictions and in the context of their eternal purposes. Because Paul does say in the book of Romans that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, may the Lord help us all with these things. Amen.